I mentioned before, we had a wonderful time last week down at Boyer Park, down at the river, where we had the tremendous privilege of baptizing 10 individuals. We haven't had a baptism quite that large for quite some time. And don't worry, we're going to do it again. I think our next baptismal event is the snake will be in January. So, if you have any takers, I mean, if you do it, you really mean you mean it. And I'm sure Pastor Steve had no problem getting in that water to do that for you. No, we just had a wonderful time. But I keep hearing, who was baptized? Who was baptized? You know, and I know that not a lot of you can make it down, but we still have a really good group there. So what we're going to do today is to celebrate these individuals. And I didn't tell them I'm going to do this. I'm not going to have you come up, so don't start running for the exits. But I am going to have you stand as I mention your name. Like I said, there was 10 of them, and they're not all here today. But I'd like to tell you who they are and stand so that you can see them and know who they are. Following the service, we're going to have a time to meet with them out around the refreshments, because what we're going to do, and again, you know, part of being of the Lord is you've got to forgive me for not telling you you're doing this. But we're going to have you. We would like to have you stand out there so people can meet you and talk to you, get to know you. First of all, someone who really needs no introduction to that was baptized last Sunday was Micah Bradfeld. I'm looking at him thinking, how come Micah's not moving? Micah, how come you're not moving? I'm sorry. It's my little buddy, Macy Bradfeld. And so just give her a big hand of applause. Steve actually had the privilege of baptizing Macy. So, it's just special. I know I had the opportunity to baptize my children. And that is a very special thing. The next person that might be a little bit unfamiliar to some of you, but to us at the men's Bible study and men's breakfast and Christmas decorating parties and stuff like that, he is no stranger to us. You'll know him as a guy who wears sometimes strange hats and almost always has a coffee cup in his hand. Ty Boyd. So, then, this is all the way last week. So, then we have another young man that some of you may not know so well, going into the sixth grade, I want to say. And so, Colton Neal was baptized. And then we had a family, not the entire family, but three members of family that were baptized. And so I'm going to have Ray McCullough and Charlotte McCullough and Amelia McCullough stand up, because they were all baptized last Sunday night. I was really tempted to hold Charlotte under a little bit longer than the rest of them, because she gives me such guff. But I love it. I mean, absolutely love it. She's great. Now, the other four who aren't here today that were baptized was, and so when you see them, and if we're here, I'll try to, I knew with the holiday coming up, probably not everyone was going to show up. And with the fair being next Sunday, we probably still won't have a whole lot of people here. But Lacey Kinchlow, and that's the wife of Jeremy Kinchlow, she was baptized. Also with another family of children, and I don't know how long we're going to have them, because their father is looking for a job in possibly Texas. you know, where I think he's going this week for an interview, actually. And so, anyway, but it was, okay, let me get this right. It was Kimber and Piper and Tegan Kelton were, I gotta get the right word, the right word, you know, and they were all baptized. So when you see them, hopefully they'll be here next week and stuff, and congratulate them. And it was just a, boy, it was just so special out there. Beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful place. Truly feel like you're actually in the Jordan River. It's about the same dirty like the Jordan River. So I just, but it was just a really great time. And so afterwards, those of you who stood, I kind of like you to kind of just not take off and run real quick, but kind of go around out there so we get a chance to talk to you and meet you and because this is a joyous occasion. This is something that this church should be really excited for, because the Lord has seen fit to add to our family 10 people. That's exciting. That is really, really exciting. And I just pray that He sees to give us even more in the future. And it has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with adding to our family and adding to His family, to the kingdom. And one of the things that I mentioned at our baptism service is they have now stepped forward and they made the confession of faith and they were baptized. We have a responsibility to them as a church. We need to come alongside them. We need to help them grow in the Lord. Not that we're all there, because we're not, haven't arrived yet. But they need our encouragement. They need our fellowship. And one of the things that they truly need is our prayers. And so I was thinking about this week, and I there's probably a lot of you saying, well, what can I do for them? I don't know them that well, or I don't know what I could do Well, here's something that all of you can do for those who were baptized, but just not for those who were baptized. This is something that you can all do for each other. And the sermon is entitled Two Prayers for You. And that's because in the book of Ephesians, there are two prayers that the Apostle Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. And these prayers are phenomenal. And we need to be praying these prayers for each other all the time. Now, we're not going to look at both prayers. We're going to look at one prayer today, and next Sunday we're going to look at the other prayer. Now, the thing that's unique about these two prayers, they are different. The first prayer is a prayer for enlightenment. It's a prayer for enlightenment. Paul is praying that the fellowship of Ephesus would know God. And we're going to talk about that, so I'm not going to get big into it right now. And then the second prayer, which we find in chapter 3 of Ephesians, is a prayer of enablement. So the first prayer is that they may know God. The second prayer is so that they may do what they know. And we're going to be talking about that one next week. But first of all, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, because that's where the first prayer is found. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Paul writes, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Those are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Father, speak to us through your words today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to focus on your word and on the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that each one of us leaves today with something new in his heart. Something new about you. A challenge. Father, speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this prayer that Paul does, it's a good one. It's a good one. One of the things that, it's not in your notes, but I just kind of want to mention it. The first thing that Paul does in his prayer is he gives thanks for all these believers. He thanks God for them. You know, and I stop to think, how many times do I stop and thank God for you folks? You know, I thank him for my wife. I thank him for my children, for my parents, for my family, extended family. And I pray for you when you're sick. So I guess if you want me to pray for you, you need to get sicker more often. And then that way, I'll be able to pray for you. But, you know, stop and think about that. And it's kind of a joke that I would say that, but and yet, when do we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Usually, it's when they're in need. Why not be proactive? Why not be proactive in our praying for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, our family of God? Why not pray for them that they would know, that they would be able to do? Paul starts off by giving thanks. And we need to be thankful for one another. Now, in his commentary on this passage of Scripture, Warren Wiersbe breaks his passage down into four simple points. And so I'm going to use those because they were easy to do, and that way I won't go so long. Because I had like 14 different points. And I was always told in seminary, that, you know, 3 points and a poem is what you're supposed to do. That was our sermon structure. 4 points, but then you got to drop the poem. And never go over 4 points. Never, never, never go over 4 points. Well, I guess I didn't listen well in seminary. I do remember a sermon, and it's a little long time ago, and I think it had 14 points. I try not to do that. So he had it broken down very well. And so we're going to look at these. Paul makes 4 requests of God for the believers in Ephesus. And here's what they are. The first one is that God may give them spiritual understanding. That God may give them spiritual understanding. Verse 17 of that verse, that that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. How well do you know God? How well do you know God? Now, I thought, I'm 62 years old. And I've grown up in the church. Yeah, for those of you who thought I was older than that, I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm 62. I grew up in the church. My father was a deacon. All these things. I know God just about as well as anyone can know God. But you know, I started reading a book called Knowing God. And it has opened my eyes to God. And it has shown me more about God than I can even imagine. See, we can't know everything there is to know about God. But we can certainly learn about Him. And what Paul is praying is that the church at Ephesus would know, would have spiritual understanding, that they would understand about God, they would understand how God works. Now in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13, Paul writes these words, "But just as it was written, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the hearts of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Paul is saying, no one knows the mind of God. No one knows the depth of God except His Spirit. So how in the world could we possibly, he says, no man can know God. And yet God places His Spirit, and we've been talking about that for all summer. God places His Spirit in us, and His Spirit knows God. His Spirit knows the depths of God, knows the deep thinking of God. And we need to pray that the Spirit would illuminate us into God's truths. Spiritual understanding. Secondly, Paul makes a request that they may know the hope of His calling. That they may know the hope of His calling. Now, each one of these, honestly, you could make into a sermon. Each one of them. That's why I chose just to follow this outline that Mr. Wiersbe had in his book. Because each one of these, I'm telling you, I could make a sermon out of each one of these. Dean could make 3 sermons out of each one of these. You know? But I wanted to make it simple for you today. We want to pray for spiritual understanding. We want to also pray that they know the hope of their calling. What does it mean to be a Christian? What advantage is there in being a Christian? We have 10 folks who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and followed it in believers' baptism. What do they gain from that? Is it just an activity to keep us busy while we're living on this earth? Well, if that's all it is, then I think I can find better things to be doing with my time. But no, because of that, the hope that we have that the world doesn't have, quite frankly, the hope is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? The hope is everlasting life. The hope is that when we are done on this earth, we have a home with God in glory forever. But it's not a hope that starts when we die, but it's a hope that we have right now. It's a hope that will get us through very difficult times. It's a hope that will help us to live our lives in peace and to have joy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul writes, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, we all were in a place of hopelessness. And there are still millions and millions and millions of people in this world who are in a place of hopelessness. But not us. But not us. If we have an attitude of hopelessness, then we got to recheck what we're doing here. We've got to go back and say, wow, did I really put my trust in God? Did I really accept Jesus Christ? For the world, I can understand this hope, this hopelessness, but not for us. Paul also writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, this passage of Scripture. I use this a lot at funerals. Oh, it's great for us. It says, Paul writes, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who fall asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That is our hope. A number of years ago, I lost my parents. In the same year. Just 2 or 3 months apart. They both passed away. But they both loved the Lord. And they believed in him and they accepted him. And I have a hope that I will see them again with God in glory. I don't despair that they're gone. I have a hope in my heart because I know what they believed and I know our God. See, this hope is from Jesus Christ. And we need to really focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to go through bad times. We're going to have hard times. But there is that hope that we have. 1 John 3:1-3 says, see how great the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet of what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have this hope, and so that gives us this desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. A Christian should never be hopeless because of the hope we have calling. The third thing that Paul requests is that you might know the riches of his inheritance. That you might know the riches of his inheritance. Verse 18, let me read that again for you. So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, I keep kidding my kids. I keep telling them that their inheritance is going to be to pay all the bills that my wife and I left. I'm going to leave them something, the boat, to pick up Bob. Bob's my car, the little red car. Hear this, you know. Think about the inheritance that we have in God, in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about that. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Everything that God has is coming to us. Now, I'm not looking at this as, because believe me, when you get to heaven, you're not going to care about money. You're not going to care about possessions. All you're going to care about is God and the love that he shows to you. We have this tremendous inheritance that is coming. But there's even more. It's not just the inheritance that we are, but there's a little twist in this, in that we are also God's inheritance. If we look at Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "But the Lord has taken you," and he's talking to the children of Israel through Moses here, "the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt, to be a people for his own possession," as today. We become God's. We are his inheritance. We are his children. What a tremendous, tremendous thought. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." So we've been given the Holy Spirit to show, to prove to us as a seal that we are his. That he has redeemed us. That we are part of God's inheritance. Then the final request that Paul makes here. And this one, I'm telling you, I could go on forever on this one. That you might know his power. How great is the power of God? How great is the power of God? Think about that for a while. Now, Mike, I'm going to skip Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, because we've read that. I can't even see her back there, but I'm sure she's there. There she is. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to the Isaiah 40, 26 passage. Very good. See, it would take me 10 minutes to do that. I'm glad she's back there. Okay. How great is our God? How powerful is our God? Isaiah gives us an idea when he writes in 40:26, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name, and because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." You know, how many of you like to go out and look at the stars? How many of you like to do that? You know, I know my girls this time, you know, they like to grab and get the old pickup, and they like to drop off to someone's hill somewhere, and they get in the back of the pickup, and they look at the stars, you know. I didn't tell them that there was a bunch of wood in the back of the pickup, so they're a little ticked at me. But anyway, they like to do that. And, I mean, it's... You see layers of stars, don't you? You look out there, you see, and then it gets to like it's a great big the Milky Way. I mean, it really does look like a Milky Way. Well, to us, that is mind-boggling, all those stars. And then to really boggle your mind, some of those things that you think are a star are actually distant solar systems. But they appear to us as a star because they're so far away. And in those solar systems, there are billions of stars. You know what I mean? It's just like, that boggles the mind, you know? And yet, stop to think that the power of God, he put all those there. He knows all of them by name, and because of his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. That's the power of God. That is the power of God. Philippians 3, 8 through 11 says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead." You know, with all our work, we cannot raise someone from the dead. We can't do it. Now, if we get to them, no, Aaron, I'm not putting down better people. If we get to them quick enough, sometimes we can restart their hearts. But if the brain goes, we can maybe keep the body alive for a while, but the brain's gone. You know, and there's a certain amount of time, after a certain amount of time, forget it. Forget it. You know, you just take them across the street and put them in the ground. That's what you do. Because we can't raise someone from the dead, especially someone who's been dead 3 days. We can't do that. All of our geniuses, all of our wonderful thinkers. Now, I know there are people who are frozen, and this boggles my mind. They're frozen, hoping that someday they will figure out how to revive them. You know, so they're just being human possums. And it's really a grasping at immortality, but it isn't going to work. We're not going to figure out how to do that. We don't know, because it takes a tremendous amount of power to raise someone from the dead, but yet that's what God Christ. He raised him from the dead after 3 days. After 3 days. That's the power of our God. How is it that we are so weak when we serve such a powerful God? We need to know that power. See, this is a tremendous prayer. That we would have spiritual wisdom into the knowledge of the, and who God is. That we would know the hope of our calling. That we would know the inheritance that we are and that is waiting for us. And that we would know the power of God. Because we really don't rely on God's power. Sometimes I think we don't know if God is powerful at all. But He is. He is. These are things that I want in my life. I want to know God better. I want to know the deep thinking of God. Now there's some things that are a mystery and I'm not going to know them until I'm in heaven. I know that. But I want to grab on to the hope of my calling. God has called me to Him. Won't He take care of me? Won't He take care of me? He will. I want to look at the inheritance that I am to God and that I have coming up, being a child of God forever and ever. And I want to know His power. I want to know that power that put the stars into place. I want to know that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Because that power is still there. It will always be there. And it's always going to be there for those who love Jesus Christ. But we need to know these things so that we can grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You. That You loved us. That You sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. But Lord, also that You call us to know You. To grow in You. To have hope. To have joy. To have peace in our life. Lord, You have called us to have power. Power to bring the word to those who are around us. Power to live our lives for You. Not our power, but Lord, Your power. Help us to know that. Father, help us to be people who are faithful in prayer for one another. That we may grow, not as individuals, but that we may grow as a family. Closer and stronger. Lord, thank You for Your word. It is the power in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name.